Good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, for the beauty outside, the snow, and for safety and travel. God, I thank you for your word, and thank you for this group of believers that we can look into your word and hear you speak to us. And I pray that we would be humble and hear your voice today. Bring our praise to you. Thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for a title for my message, I'd have knowledge, the good and the bad. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3. First Corinthians 8, starting verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. I was reading through 1 Corinthians in my personal Bible reading, and as I read, there was much that I felt I understood. Also, some that was not clear to me. When I got to chapter 8, I read the first two verses and immediately thought of two people who I had recently heard talking negatively about a number of other people. Right off, I pinned the phrase, "knowledge puffeth up," to them. As I continued to read through the chapter and think about those two particular verses, I realized that I was guilty of that exact same phrase, "knowledge puffeth up." In my mind, I was putting these two people down for the way that they were putting others down by their speech. They thought they had certain things figured out better than others, while I thought I had things figured out better than them. So, I have some verses here that kind of speak to these thoughts. In Proverbs 3, verse 7. Says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Isaiah 5:21. "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Romans 12, verse 3. "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And down verse 16. "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." Those verses all talk about not viewing ourselves as wise, as better than others, and it says, "Woe unto those who are wise in their own eyes." Changing the focus from ourselves to others. I have some verses here that speak of not lifting up others higher than what's right. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 23. Corinthians 3, 18. "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's." And then down chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." Verse 21 in chapter 3 says, "Let no man glory in men." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, the people were saying, "I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." There they were. They didn't have the right perspective of their, I guess, final authority. Not all of them, anyhow. They were lifting up the leaders, I guess maybe almost as gods. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, 13. I'd like to read that. First Thessalonians 5:12 says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. We are not to view others more highly than what is right, as in putting them in the place of God. We are to esteem our leaders very highly in love for their work's sake, but not to give glory unto them, but unto God." So I think that makes it pretty clear there. Well, we should pay close attention to the phrase, "knowledge puffeth up." Recognizing how easily it can go straight to our ego, we should also know that knowledge is very important, especially coupled with wisdom and understanding. I'd like to go back to Proverbs again. Proverbs chapter 2. Verse 10 and 11 say, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." Verse 11 specifically points out that discretion and understanding are important alongside of knowledge. I'd like to read Proverbs 1:1-7. "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, and wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Also in chapter 2, verses 1-9. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good work, yea, every good path." If we pick out Proverbs 2:6, we can know with surety that where wisdom, knowledge, and understanding come from, they come from the Lord's mouth. And there is no better place to go to seek his voice than from his written word. From Genesis, we can have the knowledge of the beginning of God's perfection. Because of sin, the knowledge of good and evil. All through the Bible, we are given the ability to have knowledge of God's heart for his people and for all of mankind who he created in his own image. We can have the knowledge of judgment, of mercy, and redemption. In Revelation, we can have knowledge of the end of time. Knowledge is good, but it comes with certain temptation of pride. Genesis 3, 1 through 5. Says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan desires to use our knowledge as a tool to get us to exalt our own selves. But rather, let us use our knowledge to exalt our Lord. Hope that it's been an encouragement and humbling, and just that we can use our knowledge in the way we're supposed to.